We are now beginning a series of lectures on Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. This series is at the urging of my friend Aryeh Rubin, and it coincides with the publication of the third and fourth volumes of the Encyclopedia of Talmudic Disputes and Perspectives. The first volume deals with the called Esther's Plea, deals with the disputes of Rabbi Elazar HaMudoi and Rabbi Yehoshua. The second volume, called Mirrors of Eternity, deals with the disputes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nechemya. These volumes, third and fourth, deal with the disputes of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And the treatment in all of these volumes is the Lishitaso method, the basic idea that in order to fully understand a statement by a given rabbi or a dispute between two rabbis or two rabbinic schools, one really has to look at all of their disputes to see and understand their perspective to Torah, to Hashkafa, and to Halacha. We are going to begin this shiur with Inyone Diyoma, and thereafter, in the following shiur, or shiurim, we are going to then give a more formal introduction. The shiur is being given post-Shvuas, and we all know that Shvuas is a Yom Tov for which there's a great amount of preparation, witnessed by the fact that the Torah tells us that we are to count 49 days, 7 full weeks, and in preparation for revelation. And the 50th day was the day in which we actually received the Torah. Some would say the 51st day. But in any case, a great deal of preparation has to take place before human beings or Klal Yisrael can accept and receive the Torah. And each and every year, just as there is a mitzvah that when we leave, when we celebrate Pesach, we have to view it as if we ourselves personally left Egypt, so too, when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah, the Medrash says, each year we have to view it as if we ourselves are receiving the Torah, and we have to make the preparations for it. But now we're post-Shavuos, and the question comes up, what now? I would like to answer this question from the perspective of Reish Lakish. We begin by noting that in the Chumash, and generally must be said that the order of the Chumash in general is not simple. Of course, when we deal with the stories in Bereishis, it goes chronologically. But thereafter, the way in which the Torah chooses to put its chapters together, or as we might speak more specifically, what we call parshios, or paragraphs, it is clear that it is not simple the way the Torah goes about doing it. And Amir Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will give me koach, I will write a sefer, I have begun, what's called Yesh Seder LaMikra, that in fact, there is a very definite order to which the Torah was written, which is no surprise, but Amir Hashem will be able to undercover it and to explain it. But in any case, for purposes of this shiur, what we want to speak about is the question of revelation. Now, on Shavuos, we were in Shul, we read the reading of Parshas Yisro, which speaks about all of the preparations that took place before Matan Torah. And, of course, this is followed by the actual giving of the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments. But there is a second parsha. In the Chumash, right after the parsha of the Aseres Adibros, the Torah immediately begins to speak about Mishpatim, the laws, mostly the civil laws that we find in the Torah. And strikingly, right after that, the Torah begins as follows. V'al Moshe Amar, Alei El Hashem, Ato, v'Aaron, Nodav, Avihu, v'Shivim, Yizikne Yisrael, v'Yishtach Avisem Erachol. We seem to have a parsha which we don't fully understand. What the Torah tells us is that God commanded Moshe to go back up to Mount Sinai. And there the Torah then gives a description of Moshe having to first consult Am Yisrael about what he was doing. There is the reading, the giving of Karbonos. There's the reading of what's called the Sefer HaBris. And thereafter, the next paragraph, it says, Vayomer Hashem o Moshe, Alei Eli Yahora. Hashem says to Moshe, please ascend the mountain to be with me. Ve'yesham, you'll be there, and I will give you the Luchos Ha'evan, the tablets of stone, the HaTorah, the HaMitzvah, Asher Kosafti L'Horosam, that I have written for you to learn from. And then it says, Vayal Moshe El Hahor. Moshe indeed went up the mountain, Vayechas Ha'onon Es Hahor, and the mountain, the cloud covered the mountain. Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, the glory of God rested on Mount Sinai. Vayechaseyu Ha'onon Sheshes Yomim, and the cloud covered it. This might be referring to and the cloud covered Sheshes Yomim. Vayikra el Moshe b'yom hashvi'i mitochonan, and God called to Moshe on the seventh day from the midst of the cloud. And then it says, Vayovo Moshe b'soch ha'onon. Moshe then entered the onon. Vayal el ahor. From there he ascended the mountain. Vayish Moshe b'hor arboim yom v'arboim laila. Moshe was on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. There is a rabbinic dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili, and for our purposes, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What does this parsha portray? Rabbi Yochanan says that this parsha is just another description of the pre-revelation preparations that Klal Yisrael had to undergo before Matan Torah. And one knows that the commentaries basically work out that you can show that these two parshios are complementary, and by going through them you could find out what happened on the first day of Sivan and the second day of Sivan until Moshe actually went up to Har Sinai. Of course, the descriptions are very different. The description of what happened before Revelation, when you read Parshas Yisro, is very austere, fear and trembling and the like. Whereas when you read the parsha after Mishpatim, it seems much more friendly, involving the people in a more natural way. And even at one point it says that the elders saw God, vayochlu vayishtu, they ate and they drank. Completely different description. Rabbi Yochanan chooses this description. It would seem, at least from the point of view of the simple understanding of the Torah, basically because it says that Moshe was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. This is how the parsha ends. It talks about giving the Luchos HaEvan, the tablets which were given on Har Sinai. So therefore, he comes ahead and says, this is all pre-revelation, it is just a different description. What he must answer is, why it is that the Torah then should put a parsha in between, and why is it necessary to write it into two parshios? We will not address this question or these questions in this year. Reish Lakish takes a different point of view. He understands that what is happening here is pretty much a longer chronology. And he basically says, astoundingly, that what happened was that after Moshe received the Torah, or the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros, he descended the mountain, he communicated with Klal Yisrael, And then he was summoned again, and he made preparations for 7 days. He secluded himself for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God called him, and then he again ascended Mount Sinai. The Gemara raises the question, in terms of many calculations that have to be made, when it says here that Moshe was on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the 40 days begins at the beginning of Revelation, and that this interruption of the 6 days that Moshe spent secluded is part of the total of the 40 days and 40 nights that he was on Mount Sinai. Question that always intrigues me. If you have two possible interpretations, and both of them appear to be correct, certainly in the sense that you cannot prove them to be false, then why is it that one particular rabbi or rabbinic school chooses to take one approach and the other one will really stake his reputation on saying it really is the other approach? Why is this? And of course, in my work, this is the general concern that I have, and I basically try to work it through. And in this vein, this is the approach that we'll take at this point. We have to understand that there is a basic difference between the way in which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish approach Yahadus, and essentially what is the difference in their characteristics. That there are characteristics of how one learns and how one approaches things is mentioned in the Gemara in a number of places. We do find that in Gittin, for example, that a number of rabbis and their approaches to learning are characterized in the Gemara. Every Shabbos in the summertime after Pesach, between Pesach and Sukkot, we say Pirkei Avos. And in Pirkei Avos, we find that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai characterized five of his students. We're only going to be concerned with his characterization of his first student and his last student, because that's important to us, in that they will serve as a window for our understanding the characteristics of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish with regard to learning. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that he had a wonderful student by the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. And what did he say about Rabbi Eliezer? He said that he's a bor sid she'eino ma'abed tipa. He's a cistern which is lined so that not a drop is lost. What does that mean? It means that whatever Torah Rabbi Eliezer heard, Rabbi Eliezer remembered. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol once was in the Galil, and there the residents posed 30 questions to him. He responded. 12 of these questions I can answer, the other 18 I cannot. The first 12 I heard my Rebbe discuss, and I heard his psak. The other 18 I did not hear at all. Then the Gemara goes on and says, lest you think that Rebbe Eliezer perhaps was not there when his Rebbe discussed it. So he goes on to say, I was the first student in the Beis Medrash in the morning. I was the last student to leave the Beis Medrash at night. I did not sleep. I did not slumber. I was fully attentive in the whole time that I was there. So if this topic or these questions had been discussed by my Rebbe, there is no question that I would have heard his psak on these regarding these questions. And if I did not hear it, then he made no pronouncement. And if he made no pronouncement, it's not something that I can paskin about. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was so great that if one were to put him on one side of a balance scale and all of the other rabbis on the other side of the balance scale, then he would have weighed the others down. That's how great he was. But then he goes on to say that he has another student, and the other student is Rabbi Loza ben Aruch. About Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, he says he is a Mayan Hamizgaber. He is a wellspring whose waters continue to grow and grow and get stronger and stronger. And he says about him that if you were to take all of the rabbis, including Rabbi Loza HaGadol, and put them on one side of a balance scale, and put Rabbi Loza Aruch on the other side of the balance scale, that Rabbi Loza ben Aruch would outweigh them all. But what we have here is a depiction of two approaches to learning, two approaches that great rabbis had, and approaches that are extremely important, or characteristics that are extremely important. The first, the Bar Sid She'eino Ma'abitipa, is very much like what we call a Sinai. A Sinai is someone who has an encyclopedic knowledge of all the Mamore Chazal that were current at his stage of development. He knew it all, somebody who knows everything. This characteristic was the characteristic of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, the Mayan HaMizgaber, the wellspring that continuously grows stronger and stronger, this is the characteristic of the Oker Horim. The Oker Horim literally means if Sinai is the mountain, then the Oker Horim is someone who could look at what had been understood to be the halacha and can show that there is much greater depth to that halacha and understands it in a more quality way than had been understood previous to his time. If you look at these two approaches, you can see that they have different functions. The Gemara in Horios raises the question, if you have to choose a Rosh Yeshiva, who is it that you should choose, the Oker Horim or the Sinai? And the Gemara resolves, clearly the Rosh Yeshiva has to be the Sinai, because in a yeshiva, this is a place of learning, this is a place where questions come up with regard to how what the halacha says in all areas, and you need somebody who is current so that if any question comes up, he's able to cite the Mamore Chazal which pertain to it, and then the students can then go using these Mamore Chazal and make their analysis. So you need somebody who essentially knows it all. However, the Oker Horim also has his place. What is the place of the Oker Horim? This is best described by Reish Lakish himself. Reish Lakish says, if the Torah would be forgotten from Israel, then just as Ezra HaSofer, in his time, was able to reconstruct the Torah. And just as Hillel HaBavli was able to reconstruct the Torah, and Rav Chiya and his children, if a similar situation took place in my generation, I would have the possibility of rebuilding the Torah from scratch. This then is the very important difference between the Oker Harim and the Sinai. The Sinai is Shomer HaTorah. The Sinai is the one who preserves the Torah. Whatever had been resolved before his time, that he knows. Just like if you look at an encyclopedia, let's say specifically the Talmudic encyclopedia, what you will see is statements and analysis of everything that had gone before. It's all there in a book. And this is encapsulated in the being of the Sinai. He is the Shomer HaTorah. However, the Oker Harim is someone who is needed at the time of breakdown. Now, if you look at the Torah, you can deal with the Torah in two ways. To give a pedestrian understanding to this, and I caution that hopefully in a later shiur we will speak about it in more grandiose terms, but if you take a car, you give somebody a car, all right? You give them a manual to the car. It tells them how to put on the windshield wipers. It tells you where to put on the gas. It tells you what happens if you have a minor problem. You read the manual. You drive the car. And most people can drive their car for years and have no problem. Why? Because generally speaking, the car works, all right? If you need to take it for gas and oil, you take it in for gas and oil. But lube job. But Lamaisa, it works. And for most people, that's enough. However, from time to time, a car breaks down. What do you do when a car breaks down? You have to take it to a mechanic. What's the mechanic? The mechanic is somebody who not only can drive a car, but a mechanic knows how it is that the car works. He knows the underpinnings of the car. He knows what it is that makes it run. He understands the totality of the system. And if you know the totality of the system, then you can put things together. It's important to know that this approach, or these two approaches, exist in all fields. I mean, take mathematics, for example. People have been doing mathematics from the beginning of time. And there are people, let's say, that are better at arithmetic. Some can deal with the multiplication tables quicker. Some people can add long lines of sums of numbers in their head. But even when you go into higher levels of mathematics, there are people who can do the mathematics. However, at one point in the history of math, people decided to question or to discover what are the axioms that mathematics is based on. And when they began to do this, they began to see that things are not so simple. And they began to see that there are even contradictions, and that in normal terms, mathematics has its boundaries. Now, somebody who just does math doesn't appreciate it because he is using the rules that have been set down for defining, let's say, a limit or to doing differentiation or whatever it is that he's doing. He works within the system, but he never questions how that system is set up and what are the limitations of that system. The same is Lahavdil when we talk about the Torah. In other words, you could learn the Torah. You could learn the Torah to understand halacha lemaisa. You could spend all of your life doing it. It's a life pursuit, a very, very important pursuit. But beyond that, there is understanding the totality of how the system works. And in this, this is a very, very important difference between the Oker Harim and the Sinai. So thus we see that even when you go back to the very, very beginning of the founding of what we will call Yiddishkeit, and go back to the Av Harishon, who is Avraham Avinu, we see that there's a very fundamental difference in how Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish view Avraham Avinu. The question is, how old was Avraham Avinu at the time that he was Makir his Boro, that he understood Hashem? How old was he? Rabbi Yochanan gives an answer, 48 years. He doesn't exactly explain how. There are cheshbonos on it. Perhaps one can relate this to the 48 levels that one has to acquire to be zeicha to Torah. But Reish Lakish gives a much more astounding answer. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish actually says that Avraham was makir as boro when he was 3 years old. Now, he has a scriptural reference to it, a remez, where it says, Ekev asher shama Avraham bekoli, that Avraham listened to me, hearkened to my voice, for the number of years that is the numerical value of Ekev. Ekev's numerical value is 172. Avraham lived to be 175. It turns out that he had to recognize Hashem at age 3. Now, it's very nice to say that, but what does it actually mean that he was able to recognize Hashem at age 3? Notwithstanding the greatness of Avraham Avinu, did he fully understand what a mature person understands? I question that. I really think that what Reish Lakish is saying here is that at age 3, Avraham became very restive. That at that time, he began his search, he began his inquiry, his thirst of knowledge, the unquenchable thirst. This was the beginning of the process, and this is what led him to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But more than that, Reish Lakish sees in Avraham Avinu perhaps his own predecessor. And that is that he understood that Avraham Avinu was able to arrive at a knowledge and an understanding of Torah without having to have been taught. That he was able to do it. In the Midrashic literature, you find that he had smart kidneys. In those days, kidneys represented the organ that gave a person understanding. And that Avraham was able, on his own, to construct Torah without having been taught. So this is the reason that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish decides that Avraham Avinu understood Torah from a very young age. It means that it was at this point that he began the process that led to his greatness and to his understanding of the Borei Olam. When we talk about a Mayan HaMizgaber, there is an interesting dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish when it comes to the karbonos that are brought on a yontif. We say in Shmon Esrei and in the reading here in Golos, which we read on the last day of the Yom Tovim, that when we come to the Beis HaMikdash, we have to bring what's known as an olas re'iyah. It says that when we come to the Mikdash, we see Hashem, and we are seen by Hashem, meaning we are judged by Hashem. That's called Yira and Yeroe. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish dispute, and the exact dispute is discussed in the Gemara, not so easy to understand, different views and so on. But one interpretation is The question arises as one interpretation of the dispute is as follows. The question arises. A person comes to the Beis HaMikdash. He brings an Oles Re'iyah. Fine. He fulfilled his obligation. The next day, he comes again. Now, he wants to bring another Oles Re'iyah. The question is, may he do so? Are you allowed to bring an additional carbon Re'iyah? Rabbi Yochanan says no. Reish Lakish says yes. What is the basis or the underpinning of this dispute? So I see it as follows. That the idea of coming to the Migdash is that in the Migdash one will be exposed to the Shekhinah. And one will draw from the Shekhinah as much insight and intelligence as he is deserving of. You remember that the Yerushalmi says that why is it called Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Shemisham Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh. That when one is in the temple, one can draw from it Ruach HaKodesh. And the Gemara then tells us that, in fact, Yonah ben Amittai received his famous nevuah during his stay in the Migdash on Sukkot. This is when he received his nevuah during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So now the question that really is the crux of the dispute is this. Can one go beyond the level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first judged us to be on and granted us our intelligence? Now, this is the basic idea is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who is a Shomer, who is a Sinai, who looks to preserve, he looks at the decision by Hashem to grant a person knowledge, and by knowledge here we mean insight and ability to understand. This is what's granted to a person. And the role of the person is then to use all of those qualities and to be the conduit, number one, to absorb all that was given in previous doros, and then pass it on in a perfect manner to the next generation. This is the role of a Rebbe. This is the role of every individual. Take the Torah that you've given, that you've received, and transmit it in a perfect way to the next door. That's your role. Reish Lakish, he is an Oker Horin. He is a Mayan HaMizgaber. Mayan HaMizgaber means that you continuously can raise up the quality of your understanding. So he says that if between the first day that you brought the carbon and the second time you come to the Migdash, you have elevated your level, let's say in Hasidic terms, in the Ashpizan terms, you've moved from the level of Chesed to the level of Gura, level of Teferis, whatever that means. In other words, right now you're operating on a different level. At that point, you have the right to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, I want to take a re-examination, I want the Yirei Yeruah process to continue because now I have prepared myself to be on a higher level, and it is possible throughout the Yontif for a person to continuously strive and attain higher and higher goals. With this understanding, we surely understand why it is that Reish Lakish chose to interpret the second parsha, the parsha which is found in Mishpatim, differently than Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, what happened was Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, he receives the Torah, but Hashem is here showing Moshe that receiving the Torah on whatever level you received it on is not the end all. The basic idea is that even after making all of the preparations, and for us, they made it for 3 days, our preparation is for 50 days, notwithstanding having all of these preparations and going through all of soul searching that it takes a person to reach levels of Kedusha and Chachma, and finally you get to the point of receiving the Torah, that's only the beginning. From that point on, Hashem is showing Moshe as a binyan av, he's showing us that after receiving the Torah, after coming face to face with Hashem, and having Hashem tell us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yelecha Elohim acherim al ponai, that after that, then we first can begin to climb higher. So he says to Moshe, I want you to seclude yourself now for 6 days. And the Gemara gives different interpretations, which are really different facets of what it is that Hashem was telling him. On the one hand, one opinion is that he was saying to him, remove yourself from physicality. In other words, in these 6 days, you won't eat, you won't drink, so whatever physicality that you have within you is going to pass, and you will move on to become a much more spiritual being. Others say that during this time, Moshe was by himself, which allowed him to have total concentration and solitude so that he can understand the greatness of Hashem. So when he receives the Torah, it's be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, be'zeya, with fear and trembling, which again moves him up to a higher level. And the basic idea is that the levels never end. That whatever level you're on, if you worked for 50 years to get to the Yovel year, that's only the beginning of the start of the next Yovel. So what we have to understand post-Shavuos, in these 40 days that Moshe was up on Har Sinai, that we cannot look at these days as, okay, we receive the Torah and that's it. All right? Just the opposite. We have to look at these days as the beginning of the next stage of our development. And if we can do this, then we will fulfill the legacy that Reish Lakish has given us, and it will allow us to have a greater understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whether you take the Torah as a manual, or you take the Torah as something that you have to understand its workings, each and every one of us during this period can strive and become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than he was at the beginning of Pesach, and even as he was on Shavuos.